All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
They work for Ellen. It wasn't heaven. Turning on the iStick.
There we go. There we go.
Grabbing the microphone. Gonna clap in, and then we're gonna plug in the headphones. That's clapping right. In in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Read all about it.
Oh boy.
Read all about it. Sunday Papers, coming here from Los Angeles, where it's raining, and Nashville, where it's what? What's going on in Nashville?
Sunny, actually.
Oh, look at that.
Hold on here. Sunny, yeah. They had some nice weather, but spring is popping up everywhere. Trees are blooming. I can't believe it.
Dude, the wind yesterday was like nothing I've ever seen. The palm tree, these skinny, tall palm trees, we're literally swaying about like 100 feet at the top, back and forth. It was crazy. Freezing cold. It's in the low 40s at night. I don't like it.
You've removed the only positive things about the place.
I know.
I heard. Well, there's more rain. We need that.
Well, we should alert people to your condition. Mike injured his neck. Because he's an old man,
and they put
him on muscle relaxers, and he now has the personality of
that I should have all the time. I'm just taking it easy, man. I'm just rolling with it.
I don't even have a
cocktail in me, but I'm taking it easy.
Wrote one joke in the entire script.
I'm gonna try to wing it. I thought I had one for the Girl Scouts, and now I'm not remembering what it is.
I got a great one-liner. It'll probably be the clip that we use this episode.
Is that what it's going to be? I just remember what the joke was. It's not really a joke. But, you know, I don't know if it's called injured. I woke up and it was like this. And usually, like, that'll go away. A crick in your neck or whatever you want to call it. Anyway, man, it's on my upper, you know, right, back right of the neck. And then through the shoulder, top of the shoulder. So then I remember 10 years ago, I had something. Did I ever tell you this one? So it was the same thing, and they wanted to x-ray it before the chiropractor wanted to, you know. So I got an x-ray, and the guy, we go to the same place, my referring doctor, Solomon, who's great.
Solomon, legendary.
He then wasn't there, but he had ordered the x-ray. So then I go in, like, oh, why don't you go? We wrote you a referral to go see this spine doctor. So I go to this hotshot spine doctor on Wilshire, and I get in there, and he puts up the chart, and he puts up my x-ray, and he's like, right, this is the easiest thing to see. It's right there. It's like around your C2 or C3. He's like, we just swap that out.
Swap that out. I go, I'm not familiar with these medical terms. He's like, well, we go in, and now they have artificial vertebrae, and so we'll replace that vertebrae. I'm like, you're talking about spine surgery? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, I thought I was way before this. I thought this was, yes, you're going to do physical therapy. This isn't nearly as bad. So I went back. When I told Solomon that, Solomon freaked out. He was like, who? What? He couldn't even. He's like, let me guess. He was under 40. That was his first thing he said.
Yeah.
And then he's like, all he wants to do is cut. He like got out of school. He's probably in his young, the early 30s. He got out of school, and all he wants to do is cut. Now, also, it makes him money.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No, they always recommend surgery. My mom had got like 3 surgeries on her heart that were 2 of them were unnecessary. Always get a second opinion, people.
Right. So anyway, I went to physical therapy, and it was great. And then, and that was 10 years ago, and I forgot about it. So I'm hoping the same thing happens now.
Let me ask you this and be honest with me. Did you make love last night?
With someone? Yeah. No, I didn't. I did not. No, I did not. Hold on. I got to let this dog out of this room. Hold on. Okay. Talk amongst yourself. Tease the show.
I'll tease the show. We've got an amazing show. We got Girl Scouts that are in trouble. We've got a good Make America Florida. Kind of avoiding politics for the most part, as we I think we've been pretty good about it, considering the very charged atmosphere in this country. We're going to talk about my St. Patrick's Day show, which is tomorrow night. Well, actually, it will have been last night when you hear this. But it doesn't matter because it's already sold out. We got Bobby Lee. Harlan Williams just had to cancel. So we got
Bobby
Eric
Lee's
Griffin.
A nice Irish name.
I got a black guy, a Latino guy, an Asian guy, and a woman who's Norwegian. And Dennis Gubbins. Dennis begged his way onto the show. I'm giving him 5 minutes. We're going to see if he can redeem himself after last year's absolutely catastrophic Hindenburg bomb.
I wasn't there last year, I don't think, right?
It was kind of the talk of the show afterwards.
I love it. You know, it just occurred to me, Bobby Lee, this is how American Bobby Lee is. He has the same name as the Southern general during the Civil War.
That's right, Robert E. Lee.
How about that?
And his middle name is E, Bobby.
No, it's not.
I think it is.
Oh, wow.
Bobby. By the way, we're also teasing in the show the number 3 show in the country on all streamers right now is the Chaos documentary by Errol Morris, written about our friend Tom O'Neill's book, Chaos. The book has shot up to like number 2 on the New York Times bestseller list. The documentary is gigantic. Everybody's talking about it. There's different reviews. Some people feel that 90 minutes or whatever it was nowhere near enough to cover a 700-page book that goes into depth in a bunch of different areas.
Please get the book. If you're thinking of seeing this documentary or you've already seen it, please, it's night and day.
So we're teasing that the author, Tom O'Neill, will be joining us shortly to talk
about
the
documentary. 6 minutes. We told him, give us a call in 15 minutes or zoom in, and that's what he's going to do.
Well, he's concerned that he doesn't look good. He hasn't shaved or showered in a few days. I don't know what's going on with him, but
he's also concerned about, you know, publicity has to be coordinated and what he can say and what he can't say.
Right,
and stuff.
Right. All right, we'll get to it. So anyway, the St. Patrick's Day show, here's what we got lined up. My friend Laureen Teish, she and I bake 6 Irish soda breads, and we cut them up. They get buttered in the kitchen at the Improv. They get served to every single person in the show.
All right.
Then the show starts off with music. We're going to play Irish songs. Me, JoJo, and Mikey Fitz are going to play a Pogue song, a U2 song, and then California Dreamin', which she's going to play flute on.
I love it. And we backing up a second. How many years have you done the soda bread competition?
3.
And what's the score?
1-1. So this is a rubber match.
This will be the third. Okay.
Yeah, there's a competition between. We're going to bring 3 people on stage. They're going to try each of our soda breads blindfolded. I don't guess we don't have to blindfold. I think we should blindfold them just for no reason.
Just so they taste more.
And then and then Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block may be singing harmony on California Dreaming.
He's going to be singing, but you don't know if it'll be on key, so you don't know if it'll be in harmony.
Well, he just agreed. He's going to do it. He pitched to me that we play Danny Boy, and he lays on his back with his legs in the air, and we make fart noises on the offstage microphone to the tune of Danny Boy.
Nice. Yeah.
But he just agreed he's going to sing harmony. All right. That's great.
All right. Little dumb thing. I'm looking out the window. So yesterday when I picked up all this stuff, like to plant, like, you know, spring has definitely sprung down here. Dogwoods are out and all that stuff. And so we borrowed a cousin, I guess my brother-in-law's truck. They just decided to buy an old beater pickup truck, right? It's an F-150. It's in the driveway from the 80s. And it is old, man. Like, this is older than you and I think when we hear 80s.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, remember when it would have like the tiny little bars, like the gear shift, you know, putting it in drive, and then the blinker. They were just long metal.
Yeah.
And there's an AM radio. That's all it had in it. The dashboard's cracked to hell. Anyway, it's really old, like an old feeling. It's a big bench, you know, kind of like.
Love the bench front seat.
It feels to me kind of like it's a 60s truck, but it's 80s, right? So these young guys who are helping load it with trees and stuff like that, they're like, man, feel the metal on this thing, right? And they were impressed. And they're like, when's this from? And I'm like, 80s. Like, yeah, that's what we were going to say. It occurred to me, like, remember when we were in college, I worked in Wyoming and I drove this old, I mean, I called it a Sanford and Son, this old red Ford pickup, whatever. Anyway, the 80s to these kids are like when I did that in the 80s, the 40s.
Wow.
It would be like me driving a pickup, not an old 57 like I probably was, the 40s.
Right.
That's messed up.
Yeah, that's amazing. It reminds me of like a John Cougar Mellencamp song video. You know, the bench front seat. There's a girl in Daisy Dukes. There's a horrible song playing. You know the videos.
Yes. Yeah.
And then we also want to announce the fifth anniversary hats are out on the website. You can look at a picture of it at fitzdog.com. Order it there. We've also got these great notebooks. These are the fifth anniversary Sunday Papers spiral notebooks. It's about 5 by 8.
List all your corrections.
You can write down the corrections in here.
Yes.
You can write down overheards. There's so many things to be written down and sent in. Again, fitzdog.com. Pick them up. I think the notebooks are, I forget how much the prices are. Everything's very reasonable. So pick them up. Support the show. That has no ads, really, except for those red circle ones that they add in at the beginning and the end.
Oh, I don't even know about those.
Yeah, nobody does. And then, of course, YouTube throws their ads in. And we get almost no money out of that. I don't know what we're doing.
Because you blow the algorithm every week.
Right. I also want to give a shout out to my buddy, speaking of St. Patrick's Day, Jay Hollingsworth, Big J, is Big Irish J, they call him. Good buddy of mine. He's got a new album out on iTunes. It's called Green Monster. He's a Boston guy. He's a smart writer, super likable. He's about 6'8". I just worked with him in Vegas, but I've known him for about 20 years. So check it out. Go on iTunes. John Tobin produced it. You know John Tobin.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I didn't know he did that.
Yeah, so he taped it in Boston at Laugh Boston, and check it out.
Oh, good for John.
The logo this week is from Bob. Bob has been very prolific for us, making some cool comics.
Look at us.
Logos. It's the last winter logo we'll probably use. You look a little bit like... The actor,
a little Ryan, like my stepbrother
Ryan Reynolds.
Jeff.
You look a little like Ryan Reynolds, maybe?
Oh, boy. Ryan Reynolds would not like to hear that.
And I look like a corpse a little bit.
We are in an elaborate, I guess, igloo type thing.
Looks like we're in an igloo.
How did we do that? It's impressive architecture. How did we it's like a cylinder of ice cubes.
And we have a ice fishing hole, and it looks like
ice
we got
blocks.
A little something on the line there. Picking one
Boy,
up.
Yeah, it's a scary looking fish.
The song this week, really, really good. Andre Guzman. I hope I'm saying it wrong. Or I mean right. Andre, or it's Andres Guzman, I'm saying it's Andre Guzman. Very talented. We hope to get more from him in the future.
Thank you, Andres.
Corrections, just one correction this week, and it comes all the way from, ready? Abuja, Nigeria, from Dane Fredenberg. And he says Walter Moreira Salles Jr. is Brazilian. What does that even mean?
I was going to ask you.
Oh, really? You don't know either?
Walter.
Does that name look familiar?
I'm going to Google it. Walter right. Jr.
Well, while you Google it, I'm going to admit our guest for the day. We very rarely have guests on this show, but this guy has been a guest in the past because he is he's an expert in all things 1960s and Manson.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, he's the director, and I just saw that movie, Brazilian, and I just wanted to sneak this in there before Tom pops on. I just saw the movie I'm Still Here, and it's very, I didn't know it was a true story. God damn it. I wish it weren't. It was very good.
All right. Let's let him in. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Tom O'Neill. All right. Where is he?
T's for terrific.
Oh, he probably doesn't have his video on. Tom, here he comes.
He knows how to do this.
Yeah, but you have your porno blocker on your camera, so we don't see you. Hit allow video on the bottom left corner of the screen.
He's in media.
See, he's saying it says long. Video, and then click on it. It'll say allow video.
I think he's doing this.
There he is. Look at those books behind him. It looks like an earthquake just happened.
I love this scarf, pal.
I turned down the, I made it dark.
You look great, Tom.
Look at that. Jesus.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. You're all over the place. World traveler.
That's also a fake background with the research that's created. So you look all,
professorial. I made it dark because I haven't showered for a few days, and I thought it doesn't show as bad. You can't really see all the books because it's dark. Normally, it's all lit up, but you've seen it before.
Forget about the background. Let's talk about is the scarf on to hide something regarding your neck?
No. I'm just fucking filthy. And I'm freezing. I mean, it's all freezing, right. And we don't have heat in Mid-City.
I know. We've already talked about how cold it is in LA right now. We're such a bunch of pussies.
Remember this, Fitz. I mean,
he stole that mushroom from Peter Thiel's house.
Christmas party, yeah.
Took it out to the driveway where they have to drive you down the hill in a bus to get to your car. And he had the mushroom.
I was overserved.
All right, Tom, let's get to it. The movie, the Errol Morris documentary, Chaos. Is there a subtitle for Chaos?
The movie?
Yeah.
I don't know because I blocked everything out of my memory of it, so I don't remember.
All right.
That's Chaos, something to do with Charles Manson, but it doesn't matter. Don't watch it.
Chaos, not based on the book Chaos by Tom O'Neill.
Well, you know, look, the truth is this should have been a 10-part docuseries. And I think it's lacking is your involvement in chasing down these leads. What's your commentary on that?
Oh, Tom, do you want me to go first so I can do some of the heavy lifting?
I'd rather just sit here and look pretty and not say a word. I mean, I literally just took out my contract with Netflix to see what my NDA says, because I don't think I'm allowed to say anything bad about it, but I will, of course, because they can come sue me if they want.
These aren't Tom's thoughts. Listen, the documentary was horrible. I mean, some people who have never heard of the Manson murders are going to get some education, but those people need to know. This is like my daughters, the way to talk to them about it is, this is the granddaddy of all true murders, all true murder
true crime.
Stories,
right?
True crime. It is truly the biggest one. And
In Cold Blood and Manson are the two, and Chaos are the two biggest true crime books ever written in this country.
Right, but I'm putting the Manson murders way, way above what Truman Capote worked on. I mean,
Truman Capote's book is beautiful and chilling and terrifying, but the crime itself is only known because of the book. Nobody remembers the name of the
victims. Right. Yeah.
Except for me, the Clutter family from Kansas. It's a great book. Yeah.
And oddly, Truman Capote, an amazing fiction writer, his book is a truer account than Bugliosi's account of the Manson murders.
And Truman Capote, I think, did make up a lot of that book.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But just kind
As
of the
did Vince
personal stuff.
Bugliosi in Helter Skelter, so.
Well, you half the half the book, half of In Cold Blood is dialogue between the two killers as they drive around the country. Like, did he have a microphone hidden in the car?
No, and Capote famously never took notes when he did interviews, and everyone who was ever profiled by him claimed that he made up everything they said, and he said he didn't want to distract people with a reporter or an interviewer, and that he had a photographic memory. So he'd go back to his room after he did an interview and write everything down. But then the people, I think Brando and or Sinatra sued him after he did profiles of him, and he couldn't produce any notes or anything because he didn't take any. And he, you know, he did his, well, that's my memory of it or something. You know, those guys.
What is your most precious piece of recording from all the interviews that you did over the years for the book?
Of reporting or recording?
Recording.
Audio interview? Jesus.
Well, what about Manson on Valentine's Day?
Yeah, that was fun, but that wasn't important.
Right.
All my tapes are great. These things, like this is...
You didn't transfer it all to a hard drive?
Yeah, Fitz, you see how many tapes are in here?
Yeah.
And that's just 1 year. There's 20 years. It would take me 20 years to digitize everything.
Yeah, I think you could find volunteers to work as interns to burn all those onto a hard drive for you.
Well, the director, whose name won't be spoken, sent his person to my house at the beginning of all this, and that very kind, nice person came and did digitize lots and lots of my audio tapes, documents. That she was here for a week. She ended up taking back a ton of stuff, but a lot of it's digitized, but not, you know, probably still just 10%.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for myself that the documentary didn't come out better. I told Tom at one point, I'm like, this is, I think, what needed to be done is, and what Tom's book does very well, it immediately discredits the story and narrative we all know. In other words, so it makes it truly, factually impossible to believe Bugliosi's account. He was the DA and then he wrote Helter Skelter. His account is wrong. That's the kindest thing that could be said about it. And we believe, and then he's caught in lies, and then he's caught in sitting on evidence and not disclosing it. And he's caught a million different ways that Tom fully details in his book. So then what you have is now your viewers are going to be riveted because it's like, then it has to be something. We've ruled out that it's not this. So it's kind of like ruling out definitively that there was only one shooter in JFK. If you're able to definitively rule that out, JFK's assassination becomes so much more fascinating. And people won't let it go. Like there would be, they're trying to solve it. And I don't think it's at that level that Tom brought to the Manson murders, where he absolutely undid the narrative that everyone's walking around with.
Yeah, and I think the stuff in your book that shows Bugliosi on a lot more levels than they cover in the movie in terms of what a piece of shit that guy was.
Yeah, except if we're going to start picking and choosing what's omitted from that film, I don't even know where to begin. And I'm going to maybe start crying like a little baby on camera. There's just so much that's not there, and nothing makes sense that is there without context.
I think most men who wear scarves on Zooms cry, so it's okay.
That's what the scarf is for, wipe up the tears.
Yeah, no, I got my heater here. It's like 30 degrees in this house.
All right, well, listen, Tom, we're going to let you go because we promised a two-minute interview, and it's been maybe more than that. But we will tell people, if you look, the good thing is the documentary has kicked up your book sales. It's one of the most watched TV shows in the country right now.
It's third globally.
Third globally. Oh,
except, you know, 70% of those countries, they don't speak English. One fun thing I've done is you can pull up the video clips of the like the Thai version or the Sri Lankan version, and it's me dubbed in all those languages, and it's insane.
That's
But they're
great.
not going to buy the book because they can't read it. It's only published in a couple of four. I think it's published in Polish and Spanish and Russian, which I still haven't gotten the book. They printed it in Russia like a year ago, and I thought, wow, maybe that's not good because it's kind of an anti-American book, but you know, if it sells copies, whatever.
Here's what I don't understand. If you bought, let's say you bought the book on Kindle, right, or something like that, couldn't the print with one press of the button be translated?
You know, that's right. I didn't think of that. It's weird though. They sent me an email from the head of Little Brown today, and he, you know, our sales are always much, much larger in the print and the audio. Digital's never really keep up with that.
Okay.
So. Oh, okay.
This is what I'll say about audio. Your audio, isn't it one click of a button now, especially
oh, with AI? AI?
With an AI voice, or you could play the audio like on your computer and then have your phone translated live.
All right,
on
just
the
getting
fly.
A little inside baseball. Let's
it also
just say
sounds
this.
Like pretty tedious to have your computer translate something to a voice that's going to mispronounce half the words and
right.
not get the nuance, which God bless the guy that did my book. He misses, he calls Bugliosi Bugliosi.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Again, the only way I can live with that is Bugliosi hated more than anything his name being mispronounced.
Oh,
so I felt
great.
Like it was kind of a blessing in disguise.
Well, at least it's in Russian because that'll be the one country Trump does not put tariffs on. So that'll help your book sales.
That's very funny, Fitz. I got to tell everybody to go watch Fitz's videos on his Instagram of him just having fun with the lady anchors. That my nephews are just dying. They want more.
Oh, all right. I got more. It was Good Day LA. And let me tell you something. Those women are amazing. And
they have a good sense of humor.
They
didn't
great
mind
sense
being
of humor.
Called. If you were a trans, you'd be a 10.
Oh, was that said?
That's what I said to them. Yeah.
Pants.
All right, Tom, we'll let you go. Thanks for your time. And we'll see you tomorrow night at the St. Patrick's Day show, 7 o'clock.
It's not going to be the same without Gibbs's 5 minutes of stalling and looking down at his notes.
No, well, yeah, but
Gubbins is going to bring it.
Yeah, Gubbins is going to do the exact same thing. So you're good.
All righty.
All right, Tom.
All right, Tom, thanks for coming on.
Free ticket. I get a free ticket for being on the show.
Yeah, you've already got the free ticket. Even though you're making actual huge money now from this book, you get a free ticket.
Yeah, look at where I live here.
All right.
See ya. Happy St. Patty's.
See ya. All right, you too.
All right, hit the shower. Bye-bye.
I know you got to end the call, Tom.
Oh, how do I do that? Well, you know what? Since I have 30 more seconds, on Sunday or Monday, I'm posting a review of the film on my social media, which is going to be my only public comment. And I'm not counting this as public because you guys have a couple hundred viewers, right?
Yeah, right.
But
yeah.
Like on a big platform, look for it Sunday or Monday if you follow me on Instagram and all that.
Why don't you tell people your Instagram handle?
Oh, it's just as hard to remember as the title of the movie. It's Chaos, but I can't remember Manson, the book, or Chaos Manson.
Okay.
Know.
All right.
I thought
it's
you guys
red,
might have it there on the website.
It's the red icon, right? Look for a red icon.
Yeah, it's a lot of red, a lot like blood.
Yeah.
All right. Dude, leave meeting. I see it. All right. I can't just stay for the rest of the show.
You can. Yeah, but the problem is the audio sucks because we don't have you on a recorder, so we have to... We have to use the Zoom audio while you're on.
All right, I'll sit around.
All right.
No, I'm joking. All right, bye. See you guys.
All right, see ya.
All right, so now we can go back to our audio, our microphones.
Wait, what does that mean?
Well, you and I record on microphones, and so we're only using the Zoom for the video, and then we use our audio, but Tom didn't have a recorder, so we have to use the sound from the Zoom call while he's
Perfect.
On. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, lot of fucking details about production and stuff on this show. Let's get to tour dates. Much more important. Hamilton, Ontario at Levity, March 26th. Then I'll be in Toronto, Pittsburgh, Boston for my birthday on April 4th and 5th, Torrance, Huntington, Escondido, Dayton, Tampa, Austin, La Jolla. Tickets at fitzdog.com. Now, we got something to crinkle?
You do.
I'm going to pull out a page from the Sunday Papers notebook so you can see the kind of quality.
It's going to be crisp and beautiful.
Oh, my God. Ready?
Look at that. Hey, I like you have your mom's house sweatshirt. Last week, didn't we have a song that was similar?
We had the mom's house theme song with our name substituted in. And we got a lot of feedback. Some people thought it was great. Some people accused us of stealing their theme song.
I'm sure the sweatshirt will help out as their lawyer
exactly.
tunes in this week.
All right. All right. Front page. We got... images of Enola Gay, the aircraft that dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima in Japan. I used to say Hiroshima. Do you say Hiroshima or Hiroshima?
I've switched as of 20 years ago to Hiroshima. I'm not okay. sure what it is.
Among targeted by the U.S. military in an... so we have targeted the U.S. military has said there's an initiative to eliminate content related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. They are among a number of photos unrelated to DEI that have been flagged, seemingly because an engineer in the image had the last name Gay. So Enola Gay is gay. And so I guess Navy guys will no longer be called seamen. They'll just be called Americans.
All right.
Homo sapiens, no longer. Now it's just American sapiens.
I guess they're going to do away with the Black Ops program.
That's right.
That's gone
yeah.
entirely. They won't even rename it.
Just American Ops.
Yeah.
The missiles that they build from now on will no longer be shaped like huge cocks. They're going to look like breasts, which... won't have the same kind of aerodynamics.
Yeah, we're going to miss all the targets, but it'll be worth it.
Yeah. United States custom officials are making more seizures of poultry products, including eggs, than fentanyl. The U.S. has reported a 36% jump in people trying to bring eggs into the country illegally since October, compared with the same period last year, as avian flu drives up costs. At the northern border with Canada, U.S. customs inspectors recorded 36, whatever. So it's way up. And they're saying there's also a lot of guys in San Diego shitting out eggs like they're hens. It looks like an actual hen laying an egg when they come across the border.
Oh, they stuff them up their butts?
Yeah.
Ugh. Well, this is the thing is the how about the poor guy that put all his fentanyl in eggs? You can't say wrong move to hide them in eggs, buddy.
Right.
Terrible timing. Normally a great idea.
Yeah, you're having a big party. You go, dude, crack an egg.
Yeah.
Boom.
Comes in its own organic container and everything.
Yeah.
What is the deal? So have you bought eggs? I haven't bought eggs in a long
time. Just got eggs today, but we were out for a while. We went to Trader Joe's. That shelf was empty for a couple weeks.
And how much do they let you buy now?
I think two. I think they let you buy two cartons. But
2 dozen eggs.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a hoarder. You're a hoarder.
Well, I save them. I just put them inside my my masks. But nice. No, it is amazing that that's a big thing that Trump hung his campaign on, was that the eggs are too expensive in this country. There was never, once again, there is no room for shading angles on the truth. There's no details allotted with Republicans. It's just one simple message. Eggs are more expensive. Never that there was avian flu. And now that it's his administration, it's even higher than it was before. And now they're going, well, it's because there's avian flu. Well, there was avian flu a year ago.
Yeah, now the view of it gets a little more nuanced.
Yes, that's the word I was looking for.
I got it. How about this now? Girl Scouts are sued after a study allegedly finds heavy metals and pesticides in, this is the stat, 100% of sampled cookies.
Wow.
A woman in New York is suing Girl Scouts of the USA after a study claimed to find aluminum, arsenic, lead, and mercury and pesticides, including glyphosate, in cookies. The study was conducted by consumer groups GMO Science and Moms Across America. They tested 11 types of cookies. I think this is Fat Moms Across America, if you ask. And the reason I'm coming out against them is the Girl Scouts, I want to say successfully defended themselves, but it hasn't been ruled on yet. But they've added none of that. And the moms made a mistake. They used some other standard. I think it might have been for water and not food. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, Mom. I knew something was wrong. I bought a box and it said Tin Mints across the front. I said, wait a minute.
Is that the what the heavy metal aluminum you're referring to?
Yes, right. I know. I bought a box. When I was in Atlanta, there was a little Girl Scout thing set up outside the gas station next to my hotel, and I picked up a box of Do-Si-Dos, and I could not get them through the screening machine at TSA. It kept going off.
Because of the metal.
Yes.
Look at that.
Girl Scouts, the Angels of Death. That's what they're calling them now.
Oh, I like that. They should have an Angel of Death cookie. Angel of Death by chocolate. A nice dessert made by the Girl Scouts.
Knock, knock. Want testicular cancer?
Wolf Ranch, a community in Georgetown, Texas, claims to be the world's largest 3D printed neighborhood. It features 100 homes created with 3D printing. Unlike human workers, the printers operate 24 hours a day. Each printer can do the work of more than 12 construction workers. By its second year of construction, the company Icon was using 11 machines and printing out 2 homes per week.
Well,
I think that'll just get faster even.
Well, it's East Texas, so it's not like there's ever any tornadoes there.
No, not at all.
Those things are coming down so fast. They're made of paper. I mean, it's a printer.
Texas kicked out all the people who were willing to work 24 hours a day. That's exactly why this stat is highlighted.
Right, right. Once they're done doing all this work, they're going to deport the 3D printers.
Totally. Throw them over the wall. By the way, why didn't they print the wall?
They tried, but it kept jamming the printer.
I wonder, imagine the cats going, you know, cats go crazy with printers. Things printing out a house. Cats losing its mind. All right, what is this?
An American dog, I just put this in. An American cats. Dog owner was shot by his pet after it jumped on his bed and set off a loaded gun. The man from Memphis, Tennessee was asleep beside his partner when he was shot. He was grazed on his left thigh and treated in the hospital. The dog, a year-old pit bull named Oreo, got his paw stuck in the trigger and ended up hitting the trigger. Fairly good chance this guy was fucking the dog.
It's always pit bulls who disarm firearms. It's always it's always them.
Yep.
Whenever you hear about a shooting incident where the dog is the shooter, it's always a pit bull.
Yeah. They got an itchy trigger paw. I've seen it. You know, if they can't attack your baby, they're going to shoot you with your shotgun.
Luckily, very, very few pit bull owners own guns, right? It actually has to be the highest group that exists. I'm going to bet that.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got?
All right. Let's go to Florida.
Here we go. Jathan Glider, 32, told employees at Tiffany & Company in the mall in Millennia at about 1:45 in the afternoon that he was a representative of an Orlando Magic basketball player before he was taken to a VIP room and shown several high-end pieces of jewelry. Then the police detective wrote in an arrest warrant that he was shown a pair of 4.86 carat diamond earrings worth $160,000 and another pair worth $609,000 plus a ring worth $600,000. He then grabbed the three pieces of jewelry and struggled with employees before he dropped the ring and fled the store. The cameras captured images of him leaving in a blue Mitsubishi Highlander that detectives traced Enterprise rent a car. Fancy. Wait a minute. Did you edit this?
No.
He hid them. That was the story.
No, it wasn't in there.
I think he might have eaten them.
Really?
I'm not kidding you.
Well, yeah, he was from the magic. He made them disappear.
I like that. I'm going to look this guy up. I think he swallowed those earrings.
He left
the ring behind. I know that.
Which is great because the jewelry store is going to recover the diamonds and sell them to some woman who's going to put them on. Her husband's going to hug her and go, "They're beautiful, honey, but you smell like shit."
He swallowed them. So wait, I got an update. Maybe the update will see if he's passed them yet. Yep. Just charged right now. I don't know. Well, how do they know he has them? At the time the arrest affidavit was written, law enforcement was still waiting for Glider to pass. It's not going to glide out, Mr. Glider. Pass the items. I guess they can x-ray him if he'll consent.
Huh.
I like it. It is magic, though. All right, now we're going to make Georgia, Florida.
All right, let's do it.
There's the crinkle. Police are waiting for 25-year-old Alifa Sumter to turn herself in. She has been dubbed the world's dumbest criminal. Now, I think one of our listeners sent this to us. So this is how it starts. A patron at Whataburger noticed the unauthorized charge on his statement separately when he got home, his credit card statement. And it was a charge to the Coweta County State Court Probation Office. Turns out that on January 31st, Miss Sumter, while working at Whataburger, is alleged to have stolen the debit card information from the customer at the drive-thru. Then what did she do? She used the stolen card information to pay her probation fines and fees at the county state probation office.
Of course she did.
So they just looked up who paid their fines in that amount, and there was Miss Sumter, who is on probation for possible... a possession of marijuana charge.
Just what you need, a stoner working the register at your fast food restaurant. Fries are half eaten. She's already colored in all the placemats on the Happy Meals.
I think she's still in possession of marijuana based on this charge also, based on this crime.
That is fantastic. She's just paying it forward.
She's doubling down.
She's going to get arrested, and then she's going to steal another credit card to pay her bail.
Well, I didn't include this. There's another side story to this, which is true. She was going to turn herself in, and I think maybe even did go in initially. Anyway, she fled the state.
And she did.
And now she's in charge. She probably rented a car with that guy's other credit card. And she... says she's like, okay. But she wants to surrender on her own terms. I don't think she has a great handle on how the law works.
Not a lot of leverage right now. No. All right, let's go to international.
International, here we go.
A new 4-lane highway cutting through tens of thousands of acres of protected Amazon rainforest is being built for the COP30 climate summit in the Brazilian city of Belém. It aims to ease traffic to the city, which will host more than 50,000 people, including world leaders, at the conference in November. The state government touts the highway's, quote, sustainable credentials, but some locals and conservationists are outraged at this environmental impact. I mean, can't these billionaires just continue flying in their private jets so they don't hurt the environment?
Isn't this also a highway into the rainforest, into the Amazon, where it'll make it much easier to go destroy it?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, this is great.
So they're warning about that. Yeah, it's like LA. It's kind of like LAX right now.
Yeah.
Getting ready for the Olympics.
And then this is in Korea. North Korean hackers have pulled off the largest heist in history. A group successfully walked away with $1.5 billion in cryptocurrencies following a breach by Bybit, a Dubai-based exchange.
Dubai.
That tops the previous record of $1 billion, which was set by Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein, who took the money from his country's central bank ahead of the 2003 U.S.-Iraq war.
Hmm.
It's all right. The attack was launched via social engineering attacks and manipulates people into giving away sensitive information by gaining the trust of workers at the exchange. I mean, how hard is it to know when somebody is trying to get your personal information? I mean, it's not, you know, if their English is bad right out of the gate, you're like, well, that's a red flag. And then when they ask you your mother's maiden name casually, that's a red flag. So this just shows you how delicate, you know, right now they're saying that Trump is positioning to buy, the government will buy tons of Bitcoin. And it's like, okay, so when this market crashes, by the way, it's down 20% this month. That's how much this fucking thing swings. If it crashes and the government is backing the currency, what happens to our economy? I'll tell you what happens. We bail out all these speculative douchebags that have been piling away Bitcoin like idiots, buying a currency that's based on nothing. And it is going to crash because this just shows you it's going to be hacked. Hackers are the best computer programmers in the world. They will figure this out and they will deplete all of the money in cryptocurrency. Mark my words.
Well, mark my words. Bitcoin is up 3,500 today.
All right, so it's at 83,000.
It's at 84,500.
Okay, well, it's down from 110 that it was at.
I have no idea what I'm talking about when it comes to Bitcoin. I also thought it was really hard to steal. So what do I know?
Well, it's hard, but unless it's impossible, then it's going to happen. And you can't put a finger in that dike. That should be the name of a lesbian bar. Put a finger in the dike.
Look at the stock market here on Friday, trying to fight back a little. Up 675.
Yeah, but it was down about 1,800 over the course of the week.
You got to roll with it, man. Got
to roll with it. I know. I've been sending emails to my broker going, what the fuck are we doing, man? I worked hard for this money.
I know. Well, all right. Are you half in bonds or what for your age?
Half in bonds.
All right.
Let's go to science and health.
Okay.
A man needed serious emergency surgery after he severed his facial artery while picking his nose.
Oh.
One of his intense nose picking sessions ended abruptly when he poked a little too deep in online footage. His wife posted this online. His wife claimed that he's always loved picking his nose, whether he was standing, sitting down, or lying in bed. The unnamed nose picking aficionado from Zhejiang City in China was in the middle of the activity when it turned into a bloody disaster. Started a nosebleed, which couldn't be stopped, and they were forced to go to the hospital where they showed that he had ruptured his artery and had to perform surgery. I'll tell you what, this is bad, but I'm more concerned about what happens when this guy jerks off.
Did we just hear the origin story of the next pandemic?
Exactly.
Is this the story that they're kind of trying to cook up?
It sounds like the cold open for, yes, the next pandemic dystopian movie.
Totally. He's like, there he goes again. He loves to pick that nose. This time it's different, however.
He loves it when he's standing, sitting, or lying in bed. I got to say, I believe I'm picking my nose way more now than I used to.
In general or since like the fires?
Now, in general, I just feel like I enjoy it more than I used to. I picked up a couple new techniques. I used to not work the tip of the nose, and then okay. I found a reverse scoop that's getting me pretty good results. and I'm finding it fills up like three times a day now. I feel like I only used to get one or two good picks a day, and now I feel like maybe I'm producing more mucus, but I can do three rounds a day now.
I imagine you do it in the car a lot.
Yes.
And what, hold on, this dog. And what do you, where do you put it in the car?
I eat it.
No.
Yeah.
No, don't say that.
Yeah, I eat it.
I doubt that.
You don't
much.
Eat your boogers?
No.
Why don't you eat your boogers?
That's dirt. You filter your nose is filtering out dirt.
All right. Well, it's just going from my nose to my mouth. It's not like it's a downgrade.
It has more heavy metals than a Girl Scout cookie. Do not eat those boogers.
What do you do with them in the car?
I only pick my nose in your car and I put it on the side of the seat. That's what I do. Don't look. Don't fall off because you're pleather. It'll fall right off.
All right, here's another one in health. Doctors are warning of a rise in consumers mistaking nail glue for eye drops. Doctors in Denver are cautioning the public about a painful mix-up that has led to an increase in emergency room visits. Patients are mistakenly using lash or nail glue instead of eye drops, a trend that has been highlighted by a viral TikTok video shared over 40,000 times. So the glue dries in a matter of seconds, and it's become very common because many products, including eyelash glue, nail glue, and even eardrops, have similar packings. Well, here was a fucking great heckle experience I had in Atlanta. I did the Late Show Friday. It was a light turnout. There was only about 50 people in the crowd, and this woman was shit-faced. And she was one of those people that, like, the bouncers told her to keep it down, and then she gets mad at them because she's just trying to talk. Why am I not allowed to talk? Well, I don't know. Why don't you look around the room and see what every other person is doing, which is, what if everybody was just talking like you're talking? What, this would cease to be a show. And so she was so I'm talking to her and trying to tell her to keep it down, and she's got lip gloss, and she's putting lip gloss on, and I said, man, I wish that was crazy glue. And the place went fucking crazy because everybody hated her.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
She's part of Moms Across America. They get around.
Oh, my God.
They ruin everything.
I hate when people talk during a show. It's just so narcissistic and selfish.
Right. So I was wanting details where what happens when people glue their eyes then?
Oh, well, I mean.
Then they just have to trust that the taxi's taking them to the emergency room.
Yeah, right. I mean.
Hard to dial a phone. You're pretty screwed.
I guess that would be pretty good if you're kidnapping somebody to say, hey, stop crying. Here, have some eye drops. I think that you have to use nail polish remover to get crazy. Like, I just crazy glued my shoe by accident the other day. Here's what I was doing. I'm playing harmonica on the St. Patrick's Day show. There's a Pogue song called Dirty Old Town that has a big harmonica solo. And I played harmonica. I used to play years ago. And now I'm picking it up again. But it's all about, I don't know if you know this, but with a harmonica, you're basically, there are three holes in your mouth, and you have to cover the two on the left with your tongue so that you're only blowing through one hole. And so I used crazy glue to mark the third and seventh hole so I don't get lost. It's almost like a fret on a guitar.
Sure.
And I did it. And I guess I hadn't let it dry all the way because it was a bead. It wasn't flat. And my tongue for a brief moment got stuck on the fucking harmonica because I'm an idiot who's impatient. And I took a little bit of nail polish remover and I rubbed it with a piece of cotton on the tip of my tongue to get it off.
Well, obviously crazy glue is used for all, like in place of stitches now a lot. I was wondering, like, if kidnappers did take me and they glued my lips together, which is a very effective gag, right? Yeah. I'm wondering if I die, sort of like you have to pick your nose because of my congestion.
Well, that's one of my...
Also, you can't throw up.
Right, or you die.
Yeah.
That's one of my big pet peeves is when there's a scene, and this happens more often than you imagine, there's a scene where a guy gets the shit kicked out of him, punched in the nose, nose is bleeding, and then they put electrical tape over his mouth so that he can... All right, where's he breathing from? There's no fucking way that guy's breathing through his nose right now.
Something old guys are very sensitive to. We notice it.
Yep. Watching a good spy show right now. What's it called? Well, Mr. and Mrs. Smith is excellent.
I know. Yeah, you brought that one up before. Yeah.
All right. Well, then why don't we just wrap up the podcast if I've run out of things to talk about.
I think it was the last Severance, and someone warned me. He's like, there's a short one coming up that everyone's pissed at. It tonally is... I do want to go back. I was on an edible, but tonally it just seemed like a totally different show.
I'm all right with that.
Ben Stiller directed it, but it became very like surreal.
Yes. I loved it. I loved Atlanta. Atlanta was like a different short film every episode.
Right. But that was sort of consistent.
Right.
Which I really liked.
Well, no, they had another episode where they all went off into the outside together for the first time.
Yeah,
even that one
was, even though it was a very different location and everything. So you haven't seen the most recent one.
I did. Where she goes back to where she's from?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved
it. That's really weird.
I mean, she's such a good actress. I could watch her all day. So that was
She is
good.
Really good. Now I'm trying to find this one guy. Just recommended.
Is it Pat? What's her name? That's not Patty Arquette, is it?
Patricia Arquette, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, she's great. She'll get nominated for an Emmy for that episode this year.
Maybe, yeah. It's very, very cryptic, too. I was trying to find this thing where a guy recommended. Apparently, there's a new show on Netflix. There's 4 episodes. I think a kid is being interrogated by police. Maybe that's what I remember. It's good that I don't remember too much. And I think this reviewer said all 4 episodes are done in one continual shot.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's not gimmicky. Sometimes that can be gimmicky. It's not gimmicky. And apparently it's very good.
All right.
So let's look for that.
All right, so let's get to business.
We're doing business. Yeah, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
I saw this headline, and I misread the headline. Or I didn't misread it. I read it correctly, but I misinterpreted it. So here was the headline today. Gold crosses $3,000 for first time.
I
thought they were talking about gold crosses.
Like they've never sold one for $3,000 before. This is the first time.
And I'm like, I bet there have been gold crosses for 10 times that.
That was like that that Norm MacDonald weekend update where he said,
Yippee,
Timothy Leary died yesterday. Oh, sorry. That was Yippee. Timothy Leary died yesterday.
Yeah, gold crosses $3,000 for first time. Gold crosses $3,000 for the first time.
I wonder if I own gold. I bet I don't own any gold. That's the best thing to own. It always goes up.
It kind of always does hang in there, yeah. And then they'll fade off for 15 years.
Well, speaking of history, let's go to this day in history.
Here we go. A little less prepared than usual.
Uh-oh.
I don't want to do the My Lai Massacre. Mississippi ratified the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery. What year did Mississippi, I want to be careful on how I read this. What year did Mississippi make the ratification official. Give or take 5 years.
1956.
I should have given or taken 70 years. 1995.
No.
Yes.
Whoa. Damn. Didn't buy yep. gold and didn't move down there and buy a slave. Two major economic mistakes for me. You know how much money I would have saved having a slave?
Yeah, unless you could have taken good care of them. That's more expensive. You never want to underestimate that.
Yep.
Okay, you know him. You've met him. You've hung with him. Comedian, legend, Jerry Lewis.
Oh.
He was born on this day in what year, give or take 5 years?
Okay, so my dad hosted the Jerry Lewis Telethon back in the 70s. Jerry Lewis was quite old back then, so he's probably in his 70s. So I'm going to put it around 1905.
1926.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
He looked old in the 70s.
He was in his 50s.
Mm.
Okay. American author Nathaniel Hawthorne's Scarlet Letter, The Scarlet Letter, was published on this day in what year, give or take 40 years? I'm giving you an 80-year window.
I'm going to go 1860.
1850.
Nice.
Look at you.
Yeah, I was an English major. That was one of my favorite books.
Yeah, I wonder what prompted it, kind of. All right, let's find one more. Here we go. St. Patrick, patron saint of Ireland. He died on this day in what year, according to legend? And now his feast day is celebrated widely in Ireland and the United States. So St. Patrick, legendarily, died on this day in what year, give or take 300 years?
First of all, there's kind of a misnomer about St. Patrick. Like, it actually is a little vague about who St. Patrick's Day is based on and the biography of this guy. So I'm going to guess it's a long time ago. Let's see. Jesus was what year? Zero? So St. Patrick was probably...
Talk about made-up legends, yeah.
I'm going to say the year 700.
What did I say? Give or take what?
300 years.
Oh, you got 461.
Nice. I know my Irish history.
You know it. You're like 250 years away. All right, last one. The first solar-powered satellite, it was called Vanguard 1, was launched from Cape Canaveral, Florida. The small satellite weighed less than 4 pounds, and then it transmitted for 6 years. I had to do some math there. So what year was this solar-powered satellite launched from Cape Canaveral? Give or take 5 years.
Oh, Jesus, that's pretty tight.
Well, it's solar energy.
We went to the moon in, what was that, 65?
I think 9.
So it was probably before that, 69?
I think. I'll look it up.
Wait, I thought Kennedy launched. Didn't Kennedy launch the first?
Are you saying the first time we landed on the moon?
Oh, maybe the time we walked on the moon was 69. All right. I'm going to say it would have been right before that. So I'm going to say 1959.
It was 1958.
No.
Yes.
Nicely done, Fitzsimmons.
All right. Let's move on.
Fucking killing it today.
You kind of did. All right. By the way, I looked up an obituary. I didn't find anybody. Am I mistaken?
Obituary about what?
I didn't find a person.
For what?
Obituaries.
Oh. I thought we were still doing the dates.
No, we're moving
obituary.
On.
Who died this week? Nobody important. Nope. Nobody died who anybody cared about this week. Let's cheer, even though the idea of obituaries is a bummer. So let's cheer up and go to the funnies.
I agree.
As always, we do the comedy captions contest. You guys use your creativity to come up with punchlines for a single panel of a comic strip, and then you win a koozie. If we select you, you get a koozie sent to your house for free. And this week, the one we announced last week was it's a line of traffic. It's a bunch of guys in their cars. They look sad. And there's a woman in a mini dress with garter and silk stockings and a little bow in her hair. And she's got one of those trays that's strapped around her neck that they used to sell, like, cigars, cigarettes, and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys wrote the caption. Her mouth is open, so she's speaking. This is Lane from Denver, says, sticky buns, salted nuts, raw dogs. I'll do it for $20. And then he writes, guy in the back car sold. You don't need that, Lane. You don't need that extra line.
I like it.
You
I
heard
like it,
the
though.
Joke with that. John Heilman says, you all better stock up before RFK makes this shit illegal.
All right. Nice political swipe.
Kelly Holmes says, Betty really cleans up selling Viagra and Miralax after a Fitzdog show.
Interesting. Okay.
Takes a little shot at me there, Kelly.
I guess so.
Rich Butchko says, with drag story time shut down, Steve worked rush hour to make ends meet.
That's a dude.
Yep. Stephen Mangram says, guys, when I tell you to go ahead and tap it, I mean your debit card.
Oh, boy.
Jeff Langa says, Canadian border, last chance for menthols and Jack Daniels.
They are all men driving in the cars, true.
Dan Albany says, cold beer, $5, tamales, $2, and my signature move, the traffic slam, $500.
Mm.
Brian Walker says, cyanide.
That's dark.
Jason Cobb says, there is some upside to getting deported. You I don't know the delivery on that line. How would you deliver that line?
There is some upside to getting deported. That's right, not how I would do it. I don't know.
Jim Guglielmo says, breast milk. Get your fresh squeezed breast milk here.
All right.
Brian Rischel says, after OnlyFans was shut down, women had to return to work in the streets.
All right, OnlyFans. Okay. Is it the first one, even though you didn't like the added on part?
Sticky buns, salted nuts, raw dogs. I'll do it for $20. That's good. I also
or
like
the drag story time.
I like
time.
The drag one with drag story time shut down. Steve worked rush hour to make ends meet. But I think your first instinct is good. Let's go with the first one. We're gonna cut the tagline for you, Lane. We're doing you a solid so you can win.
Yeah.
Congratulations,
Lane
from Denver.
Perfect.
All right. And now we got the Lockhorns, a real pro. This Bunny Lester, I think is her name. No, Bunny Reiner. She's a pro. Did I do this one last week? Leroy and Loretta are in the car. They're driving, and there's a big tanker truck ahead of them. And there's a sign on the back that says, this truck stops at railroad crossings. And he goes, shouldn't they actually warn us if they don't?
You did not. And I like that one.
I like that one. And now they're coming in, or they're going out the door to a party or something. She's putting on her lipstick, and she goes, and he's wearing an outfit. It's brown striped pants with wingtip shoes, a purple and red paisley shirt, and a leather
polka
jacket.
Dot. Yeah.
And she goes, not only does that outfit make a statement, it does so at an extremely high volume.
They have better than that.
Yeah, it's better than that. Now we get to Hagar the Horrible, and he really is horrible. I mean, you're trying to read comic strips with your kids to get them interested in reading, and you come across the very front section of the paper, which is the comics, and your kid gets to read this. Two rapists sitting in chairs, and Lucky says to Hagar, what's your secret to a happy marriage? Hagar goes, communication, but not too much communication. It's not good to share all your dirty deeds. And then the wife says from the next room, too late for that. I've already been doing your laundry. So
his dirty deeds are all over his clothes?
Yeah, I guess there's blood and fingernails
and sexual fluids.
Oh my God, don't share all your dirty, what kind of dirty deeds? What does that mean? What dirty deed would you not share with your wife besides assaulting other women?
There's probably men's blood on there too.
Yeah, but she knows that's his job. That's his fucking lifeline. But it's the side hustle that he doesn't want to share.
Although, you know, it's always rape and pillage. It's never pillage and rape.
That's true.
Rape gets top billing. Let's keep that in mind.
Yeah, which is weird because you have dinner and dessert, you know, in that order.
Yeah. All right,
spoil,
we're going to go to Doonesbury. Here we are at number 8. There's 4 frames, and I don't know these characters, but the 2 guys, older guy who's bald, and then the younger guy.
He's
one
of
them named Doonesbury?
No.
What'd you say?
No. The guy, he's kind of a hippie looking dude, the guy in the passenger seat.
Okay, so the older guy, the bald guy's driving, and we're looking at their car, and he goes, okay, you can get out here. This looks like a pretty good spot for hitchhiking. And then the guy goes, Dad, all right, we just learned a lot here. Dad, I thought you were going to drive me back to school. The dad goes, you said you wanted to hitchhike. But you said that I couldn't. That was near the house. I didn't want anyone to see you hitchhiking near the house. It's embarrassing. And then the kid goes, but, and he goes, come on, out, out. And he kicks him out.
I like that. You got it.
All right.
He's got like a Jaguar XJ6.
Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah.
All right. It could be a little Triumph. Could be anything. But that's what happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, Doonesbury is a serial. I think that there's a storyline leading up to this that would make this have a little bit more
really
punch.
Sing. It would really sing.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of singing, Blondie's in bed with Dagwood, who for some crazy reason is, got his back to his beautiful wife wearing his donut pajamas like a child. And she rolls over and goes, you were talking in your sleep again. And he goes, did I say anything interesting? She goes, I don't think so. It put me to sleep. I mean,
Badoosh.
She's starting to get a little aggressive. I think this might be a turning point for Blondie. She's put up with him. She's placated him, fed him, listened to him. And now she's like, what am I doing here?
I don't even think she's listening. I think he's talking in his sleep and he's like, why am I such a cuck? Why don't I throw a move on her? Greg's right.
Why am I afraid?
She should listen to that.
I mean, maybe you're right. It could be that he's just overwhelmed. But I don't get that sense. It seems like more like he's distracted than intimidated. He's distracted by food and sleep and being a failure at work. There's maybe if he got a piece of that ass, it would change his confidence level and he would be more successful at work.
Yeah, maybe. I think he has an eating disorder. Like even though he's not fat, he's addicted to food. That's his vice. That's all he thinks about.
I can only guess he's bulimic. He's got to be throwing it up.
Oh, maybe.
Yep. Okay. All right, listen. The hats are on sale now. Go to fitzdog.com.
Yes, fifth anniversary.
You know, we should have hit that a little harder. This is our fifth anniversary, Mike.
Next week. I'm on drugs, man. I'm on muscle relaxers. I'm just coasting.
We started this podcast during the beginning of the pandemic. This was literally the first week they were shutting things down. I don't know about the rest of the country, but in California, because it was St. Patrick's Day. I had my annual St. Patrick's Day show, and it was canceled the day before because that was the first night that they were shutting down the improv. So it's 5 years exactly since we started this. And
wow.
I got to thank you guys every single week for 5 years. we have had a different theme song. Amazing. Every week for 5 years, we have had a different logo, all generated by you guys who cared enough to give to the show, to tell your friends about the show, maybe tell more friends about the show, to check us out, to send in comments, to write in comic captions and all the stuff that's happened over the years. And I'm glad you guys have supported us. We've been having a blast.
We've probably averaged 50 shows a year because maybe we take 2 or 3 weeks off.
Yeah, that's about it.
Something like that.
And this is with us. I've been
not
in South
every year, not early on.
I've been in South Africa recording these. Mike has been all over the country in hotel rooms, taking time away from his beautiful fiance to record an episode.
I did it in the car in Utah once.
I did it in the car in my mother's house once. Yeah, it's it means a lot to us, and it means a lot that you guys are paying attention. So thank you. Here's to another 5.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. I didn't know you were leading to that. All right. Listen, I might listen, try to find our first episode, listen to it, and comment on it next week.
All right. I love it.
5 years younger. Ooh, boy.
Don't forget to get Tom O'Neill's book, Chaos.
Yes.
Maybe or maybe not. Watch the documentary. Give us your thoughts on the documentary. We'll read those next week. It's on Netflix. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
All right. These two old men you see giving you Sunday news for free. Mike really hates Philly and Greg loves women's feet. Hear your Sunday papers. They work for Ellen. It wasn't heaven. Hear your Sunday papers. Grab a seat.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say ahoy or land ho and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. Geico's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with Geico.